A New Direction.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Forget buying up bad mortgage debt. That really wasn't the best idea. Instead, let's invest directly in the banks. Give them the capital they need. That pretty much sums up where the bailout is headed now. Today, the president and the Treasury will lay out the details of a plan to spend $250 billion on bank stock. Ashley Milne-Tite tells us what we know so far.
The money is to come out of the $700 billion bailout package already approved by Congress. Reports indicate half the money will go to nine big banks, including Bank of America, Citigroup, and JP Morgan Chase. The other half will go to smaller banks. The government's investment will take the form of preferred stock, a type of share that pays a special dividend. The government will reportedly also guarantee certain types of bank debt. The hope is to restore confidence and get banks lending again to each other and to customers. Another important element of the plan is the extension of federal deposit insurance. The government will place an unlimited guarantee on all deposits that don't bear interest. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Overseas today, the stock markets have responded to this plan with another wave of buying. In Japan, the Nikkei gained 14%, its best day ever. The Nikkei, remember, was closed yesterday. So far in Europe, the markets are up another 4%. The Dow is at 9,387. It gained 11% yesterday, its best day since March 15th, 1933. 936 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both added almost 12%. Obviously, European investors seem to like where the U.S. is headed with this. We're joined now by our correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what's behind the European confidence?
A great collective sigh of relief. The belief is growing that by taking concerted action, we could see a turning point in the financial crisis because all the major governments are on the same page.
And by that, you mean that governments in Europe and now the United States have agreed that going down the path of investing in banks is the way to go. The Brits have already started down this road. Do we have any idea how that's going?
Well, yesterday, the British government took control of a huge swathe of the commercial banking sector. And you've got a lot of worry about what the long-term implications of this could be for the British economy.
Like what?
Well, the fact that effectively the British government is now controlling almost half the country's residential mortgage market. Yesterday, the British Prime Minister said that he wanted to see these banks return to mortgage lending at last year's levels. Well, we've got economists coming out of the woodwork here this morning saying that would be disastrous. I mean, last year there was too much credit. This would create another housing boom and an even bigger bust. The worry is that because the British government has now got control over such a huge swathe of British banking, they could wield this economic power for political purposes and not for the sake of the long-term health of the British economy.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthealth.com. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Last week, we had reporters driving cross-country as part of Marketplace's special coverage of the financial crisis. I was stuck here in L.A., but there are stories here, too. They're just a little different. I went looking for small business people to see how they're adapting to the economic conditions. I visited Brett Wilson at his apartment. See if you can guess what he does by my reaction.
Oh, wow. Oh, whew.
I didn't know what else to say because Brett opened a duffel bag and pulled out a 10-foot, 60-pound Burmese python and then a 25-pound monitor lizard. They're his business associates.
I'm the world-famous lizard boy. Which means that I bring snakes and lizards and frogs, bugs,
tarantulas.
And a tarantula, of course, out to schools or parties or pretty much anywhere they need a big bucket of reptiles.
Obviously, a lot of places do. Brett's been making a living at this for 6 years. His girlfriend, Christy, also has her own business. She does voiceovers for commercials. They live in a loft in downtown L.A. with the reptiles and bugs and three cats.
We were going along pretty good. We've been putting money away specifically to buy this apartment if it goes condo. And I don't think we put a dime in that savings account since...
Well, we sold my car. We had two cars. We sold my car. Then we decided to buy a scooter.
They're doing what a lot of people are doing. Saving on gas, they hardly ever eat out or take a vacation, and they're trying to keep two businesses alive in this economy. For Brett's traveling show, gas is the biggest cost, followed by rats.
Rodent meat is probably the most expensive meat on the planet. They're about $5 to $8 a pop.
I thought rats were everywhere.
You can't feed them the ones out the street because they might be full of pesticides or, you know, you want something that's a clean, safe, food-grade rat.
Food prices. This year, Brett raised his rate from $200 an hour to $225. So far, so good. Christy actually benefited from the housing collapse.
So, yes, I raised my prices this year and I lost a lot of clients, but then I got an audition from my agent for a home auction foreclosure company.
I mean, it sounds horrible, but it's worked out for us, but like, what an awful thing.
Brett and Christy are lucky so far. They really haven't been snake bitten by this economy. But booking a reptile show might not be priority spending for a lot of people.
Being self-employed in such oddball fields as we've chosen, it's always a crapshoot. What makes me nervous is not so much my business, but other people's perception of what they can do with their money.
And yes, those are crickets in the background. I'll have another story from Los Angeles tomorrow. I'm Scott Jagel. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
She said, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me. You fool, you fool.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.